Praise the Lord. Can you hear me? Praise the Lord. It's a joy for me to be here. I'd like to thank Reverend Dr. Stewart and also Pastor Pauline for this opportunity, and the board, obviously, for this opportunity to come and share the Word of God with you this morning. I'd like to also express my gratitude to Brother Grant and Sister Ivy for their hospitality. They put me up in their place to stay the next 2 to 3 days. I'm like a fugitive here. When I come, they move me to different places. And after that, I'll be moving over to Brother Hoping's place. Thank you very much for your hospitality. I had such a nice dinner last night. A big piece of salmon fish, and I like salmon very much. So thank you very much, and a good, a very healthy breakfast this morning too. Unlike in Malaysia, you have char kway teow and laksa and all that. All right, so I want to send greetings from my wife, Catherine. She's not able to be here because, as I mentioned to you, that she is taking care of my granddaughter, the first granddaughter. She's now almost 15 months now, and hopefully before 2 years old, we can bring her along and she can tag along. Hopefully, if my daughter-in-law would permit her us to bring her along, it's a joy. And today's message basically is in relation to generations. I want to talk about an excellent beginning does not guarantee an excellent ending. An excellent beginning does not guarantee an excellent ending. Taking from the life study of a king of Israel, of Judah, sorry, king of Judah, his name is King Uzziah. King Uzziah from 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'm not going to deal with the whole chapter or else it will take too long, but I'm going to pick some of the important verses and draw some principles that we can apply. You know, since becoming a grandfather, I'm a lot more conscious of how I live my life. Because the important thing is the legacy you want to leave behind. All right? Legacy you want to leave behind. And having experienced 2 years ago, being involved in dealing with a close friends because of an unfortunate incident in his life and creating tremendous turmoil in the family, you know, is not getting better. So I felt there's a need for us to really evaluate and consider as we reach a certain stage of our life, is what legacy do we want to leave behind for our generations? And I'm going to take from here. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse 1, it says, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old," so he was very young, 16 years old, "and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah." I'm going to skip verse 2. Let's go to verse 3. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. Now, if you read the Kings and the Chronicles, you notice that sometimes the mother's name are mentioned in the Bible, sometimes are not. And in this particular case, the mother's name was mentioned. Now, why it was mentioned, I don't know, but there are some cases where some mother's name was mentioned and even the grandfather's name was mentioned, and it's quite significant when certain names are mentioned there. But the key, obviously, is in verse 4. Verse 4, the Bible says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did." Now, if you read the Kings and if you read the Chronicles, you notice very commonly being repeated two phrases. They did that which is evil and they did that which is right. Now, you see that being repeated all the time as in the two Kings and in the two Chronicles. Verse 5 is also an important verse here. He says, "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God." And if you have your Bible, you need to mark this. It says, "And as long as he sought the Lord," as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. It's very important. As long as he sought the Lord. That's a key. It's a very important key for us. And then you talk about in verse 6, I'm going to miss that, you know, talking about war, it was victorious, God was there. But in verse 8, I just want to highlight the last few words. In verse 8, it says, he strengthened himself exceedingly. He strengthened himself exceedingly. And if you go on and on, I will explain a little bit of it. Verse 15, the last sentence. And his name spread far abroad. And he was marvelously helped. And that's very important. He was marvelously helped till he was strong. And you need to know who helped him. Somebody did it, right? He was marvelously helped. Not him, but somebody did it. That's a good beginning. Very good beginning if you read that. And then the sad ending comes in. At the end, the sad ending in starting from verse 16. But, and you know when you have the word but, it's not very good, right? But just to encourage you, not every but in the Bible is no good. All right? There are some but in the Bible actually is excellent. But in this case, it is not very good. It's sending a wrong signal. But when he was strong, he was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Verse 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him and with 80 priests. 80 means in King James means 80. So altogether 81 priests. Azariah and 80, altogether 81 priests in the temple of the Lord that were valiant men. It is important the word valiant men, not just men, valiant men, men who were very brave, men who were prepared to have their head lost from their neck because you're king against a king. The word valiant is important. Brave, courageous men. And then in verse 18, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that they are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary. Wow, very brave person, man. Talking to the king, you know, in a way, if you want to be a little bit rough, he said, get out, right? Get out, huh? Get out. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be thy honor from the Lord God. Verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. The Bible said Uzziah, the Bible didn't say Uzziah was angry. They used the word wroth. Wroth, I think, is in terms of degree, is more serious, right? Uzziah was wroth. He was very angry and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead. Why not the hand? Why not the body? Why the forehead? Before the priests in the house of the Lord and from beside the incense altar. Verse 20, Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him and behold, he was leprous in his forehead and they thrust him out from tents. Yea, himself hasted. He also quickly ran out. He knew something is wrong. I better run out first before a more severe situation arises. He himself hasted. Also to go out because the Lord has smitten him, verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in several houses, being a leper. He was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house and judging the people of the land. And the last verse I want you to read, verse 23, a very sad ending, an epitaph on his tombstone. I go to a cemetery sometimes because I do funeral service and I thank God I don't have to do that so often. Unlike Moses, you know, he was so busy doing funeral service in the wilderness. You always see an epitaph, you know. A lot of Christians, they will write a very famous verse of the scripture, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. But in this particular case, in verse 23, it says, and so Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him and with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they say he is a leper. That's the epitaph on his tombstone. isn't it sad? An excellent beginning, but then a sad ending. Now, I want to expound on this particular few verses that I've been looking at. Number one, Uzziah, King Uzziah. We know from the scripture that he was one of the sons of Amaziah. And Uzziah was his throne name. It's not his actual name. His throne name. And people ascend on the throne, they choose a certain throne name. So Uzziah was not his personal name, but a throne name that he chose. Uzziah means Yahweh is my strength. And his actual name is Azariah. Right? It's like Pop. This present Pope, I can't remember his name. What is this present Pope now called? Pope Francis, but his actual name is not Pope Francis, right? So Pope Francis is his papal name, but not his real name. Okay, Uzziah, his name is actually Azariah. That's his personal name, and Azariah means Yahweh is my help. Now in the passage, we begin to see the three H of Uzziah's life. Number one, Uzziah began in humility, the first H. He rose, or God raised him up in honor, or with honor, second H. And number three, his disobedience results in his humiliation, the three H of Uzziah's life. Now, in verse 2, the Bible says that at 16 years old, he was made king, and he was the second longest reigning king in the kingdom of Judah, 52 years. And obviously, the longest one was Manasseh, 55 years. He was one of the most prosperous and most successful of Judah's king compared to most of them, except Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the most successful and the most prosperous king. Obviously, besides Solomon, and obviously Solomon, we may talk about Solomon. Solomon was the last king that ruled the Jewish people as one nation. He was the last one. So there were three kings that ruled the Jewish people as one nation of Israel. Obviously, the first one was David. First one was Saul. Second was David, and third was Solomon. And incidentally, each of them were given to reign for 40 years. And the number 40 is very significant. The number 40, spiritually, can talk about a new beginning. A new beginning. Each of them given 40 years. I remember I first responded to the Lord for a full-time call at the age of 40. It was a new beginning for me. And I believe that because each of them had 40 years of service, so I prayed to the Lord. I said, you're not a respecter of person, and you should also give me 40 years. So which means that I still have 26 years to go. Or 16 years to go, sorry. I'll be 19 more than a prime minister. Still have 16 years to go because I'm 64, right? So I want you to know, if you look at it, is that in verse 4, as I say, is the key. The Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You know, as a young king, as a young man, and there's a tendency for us, every one of us, I can safely say, begin well. Right now, I can safely say, almost everyone, or every one of us, when we begin, we always begin well. Right? And so that's what he did. And as a young king, he had this attribute. The Bible says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. When you say right in the sight of the Lord, it means that King Uzziah, as a young man, was a king whose heart's desire is to obey God, is to please Him, is to honor Him, and is to trust Him. That means he walked in the ways of God. When you say he did that which is right in the eyes of God, means that he walked in the ways of God. And you can't walk in the ways of God without knowing the Word of God, isn't it? So we can safely say, by looking at the Scripture, that he was a king who loved the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. And because he knew the Word of God, he knew what God likes and dislikes. And so therefore, he walked according to the ways of God, according to the Word of God. And that's what we need to do. We need to walk according to the Word. And that's why Jesus says this when he was tempted by the devil. And the devil tempted him by saying that if you are the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. And how did Jesus respond? In fact, if you look at the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, you need to go back to Deuteronomy because Jesus quoted off from Deuteronomy. Right? So he says this, men shall not live by bread. Huh? For our case, men shall not live by rice. All right? Men shall not live by rice alone, but by every word. And that word is not the written word. That word is the rhema word. It's the word that God made alive to you for you to live your life, because the Logos word has many principles. All right? So by every word is the rhema word. And you cannot have the rhema word unless you are saturated with the Logos word, because the rhema always drawn from the Logos. So you need to get the word into you. That's why it's important for us to meditate. So you can see that, you know, his desire, and that's what we need to do in our life. And until the end of our life, we should have this desire in our heart to walk right in the sight of God. All right? And then you begin to see the second important thing in our life journey is the power of association. The people who are around you influence you and affect your life destiny. And he was very blessed. He was very blessed. When you read in verse 5, the Bible says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah. He sought God. When you read the word sought in the Bible, means that Uzziah was a king who desired the presence of God. He was a prayerful king. He inquired God from God before he make any decision. And that's not something that we need to learn in our life, because we have so many decisions we have to make in life. And most of the time we don't really, including myself, I'm also speaking about myself. And sometimes some trivial things we don't really, you know, think it's not important enough for us to seek God. But I want to tell you, in all things we need to seek God. Whether it's trivial or not trivial, we need to serve God, seek God. Why? Because God is the wisest person in the world. And by the way, it is not just wisdom. I mean, we all have children, you know. One of the, I think children, please listen to us who are parents. Even though you can be 40, you're still children in our eyes. Please. I want you to know that. You will forever be children in our eyes. And because you are forever children, we may project an image that we are very nasty, you know, even at this age, you still want to control me, you're still telling me, you still remind me, you know. I mean, that's what we do sometimes, right? It's not that we want to be, in Cantonese, we say, chong, what is it in English? Long-winded, is it? Like a grandmother, like a parrot, and keep repeating, you know. Because until you listen and are attentive to it, we have to keep repeating, right? And God does the same thing, right? Read the Bible, God does the same thing also. And so it is, why? Because we are concerned. Because the decisions you make influence your destiny. And so we want to encourage our children to pray, because there's wisdom from God to make the right decision. And not only the right decision, you need to make right decision at the right time. The timing is important. You talk about understanding the times, right? The seminar carrying on. In these last days, God is looking for children of Issachar in the church who understand the times and the seasons, what Israel ought to do. But the issue is not to know what you ought to do. The question is whether you do it. Because if you don't do it, nothing happens. I always tell people, knowledge is beautiful, knowledge is wonderful, but knowledge is of no use if you don't do it. And so here you can see, he was very blessed because he had Zechariah as his mentor. And we need to pray for mentors for our children. I have mentors. My mentors are in their 70s and in their 80s. And unfortunately, two of my mentors have already gone home. And I spoke to the Lord. I said, Lord, now I'm left with three mentors. It's not enough. You know what the Lord is speaking to me, you know, in my heart? He says, no, you're already 60 plus and you have, you know, you should start learning to be somebody's mentor. So I can be somebody's mentor, but I still need a mentor. He had a mentor. Why did he pray? How did he cultivate a lifestyle of prayer? Because he had a mentor in Zechariah the prophet who was a prayerful man. And I know he was a prayerful man because if you read the scripture, he says he had understanding in the visions of God. If you want vision, please switch off the television. Because if you read the book of Acts, you always see these two words together, prayer and vision. Prayer and vision, prayer and vision, prayer and vision. Because if you live a lifestyle of prayer, you are always in communication with God and God wants to speak to you. It's very easy. Because you tune to the right channel and sometimes you go to the wrong channel. So he was prayerful because of Zechariah. The prophet who was a prayerful man. You cannot be a true prophet of God without praying. All right. And you can see the Bible always says when you refer to the prophet, you always see this phrase again. The word of the Lord came unto so and so. The word of the Lord came unto so and so. And sometimes I'm very envious, you know, because in the Old Testament, God seems to be speaking audibly to a lot of his servants. But in our days, sometimes we don't hear that much, you know. I think sometimes I feel that it's so much easier for us to live and to follow the ways of God when we can hear God telling us, isn't it, regularly? Right? But actually, in the New Testament, we are more privileged than the Old Testament people because we have someone who is in us all the time, who is speaking to us all the time, who is there to guide us, to lead us, to direct us, to warn us all the time. But most of the time, we don't hear because we are too busy, right? We are too busy. So he was so fortunate, so blessed that he had Zechariah as his mentor. And the thing here is this, as long as he seek God, as long as he prays. When you look at the word sought God, you can see in scripture it talks about prayer. It talks about somebody inquiring. Right? As long as, that means there's a condition. As long as he seek God, God made him to prosper. That's the two secrets of his life. The two secrets of his life that as long as he pray, as long as he seek God, he will experience prosperity and success. But at the same time, he knew that it was God who has blessed him. And when we remember and when we know that it is God who blessed us, somehow it helps us to have a heart of appreciation towards God. Right? A heart of gratitude towards God. In fact, everything that we have in our life is from God. And you know, I don't know whether you do that. Each day when I pray, I always start with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, first of all, the blessing is not the money, not the blessing, you know. I think the greatest gift, or maybe you don't use the word greatest gift. The second greatest gift, obviously the first gift is the gift of eternal life. I think that's the greatest. But the second greatest gift that God has given to me actually is good health. It's good health, right? I'm not talking about money. You know, money cannot buy good health. I can tell you that. It can buy you a lot of supplements, but it doesn't guarantee you good health, right? All right. So a heart of gratitude actually is important. It is God. And when you recognize that everything that we have, even our life, even the heartbeat is from God, then we begin to have a heart of gratitude towards God. All right, and that's what he is. He realized that it is there. And then, obviously, if you read on, you know, God has blessed him. He was victorious. He was triumphant and things like that. Now, let's go to verse 15. The word it says, and his name spread abroad. He was marvelously helped. Now, I want you to know that this word is very clear. He was marvelously helped. And so, again, it was God. It was God who honored him. It was God who strengthened him to make him strong. He was one of those that is so victorious that even Israel's and Judah's sworn enemy, the Philistine, was defeated. The Ammonites, the Arabians, all these were defeated because of God strengthening him. But I want to look at the sad ending we had. What we have learned, read just now is a good beginning, tremendous beginning, excellent beginning. And you know, one of the things that he failed to realize, and that is something that we too in our own life have to be aware of. Because in the midst of his success, in the midst of his prosperity, he forgot that it was God. He forgot that it was God who empowered him. It was God who made him popular, God who honored him. It was God who blessed him in his life. He forgot. And there's a tendency for us to do that, isn't it? When we are so successful and so blessed in our life. And we see that cycle repeating in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah. And every time God blessed them. And there's a tendency for them to forget. And then after that, they're so much drawn away by mammon, drawn away by idolatry, and then they begin to cry. And one thing, beautiful thing of our God is that God will never abandon us. It doesn't matter how far away we are from Him. You can be in Timbuktu, but you know that He's still with you. And a lot of people try to feel, I tell people, don't feel for God. No need to feel Him. Why? Because He's in you. He's in you. Don't look for feeling, because feeling will deceive you. I don't look for feeling. I know God is with me. I don't have to feel Him. You know, we are so blessed compared to the Old Testament that people never have God in them. One of the beautiful things that we are blessed with, you know, we have God with us, God in us, and God for us. And I hope you begin to see this. The Bible talks about it. He says the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in Christ. And we are complete in Christ. What does it mean? That means the fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is in us. And I hope you realize that we are made heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so here, we need to be careful in the midst of our success, in the midst of our prosperity. Don't forget that it is God. And unfortunately, Uzziah, probably because he was blinded by success and prosperity, he forgot. And pride began to creep into his heart. You know, pride is a very dangerous enemy that we don't even realize that it exists in us, if it really does. You know, I remember 2 years ago when I was praying. And I was praying and, you know, the Spirit of God just spoke into my heart. He says, do you know that even Satan and archangel cannot handle pride? What about you? That's a wake-up call, right? Satan and archangel, tremendous wisdom. He cannot handle pride. What about you? I don't know whether I'm walking towards the cliff of pride. I don't know. But doesn't matter whether I am or not. But it's a good reminder for me. And then I begin to realize that, and then the scripture pops up. Scripture pops up. I mean, I believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who brings you to remembrance the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that He will raise you up. We don't have to be concerned about popularity and honor. God will do it. If God does it for you, no matter what lies people spread about you, no matter how envious people and jealous about you, they can never, never succeed against you because God put you there. And so I think one of the things here is, this is what he did. He forgot about it. And you know, from that day onwards, it's a lesson I say, I tell the Lord, I say, Lord, it's not difficult for me to humble myself before you. How many of us have problem humbling before God? I don't think any of us, right? But to humble before man is different, no? Right? So I ask God, God, you help me, teach me to humble before man. Teach me to understand that we are all servants. Doesn't matter how big your ministry is. You can have 50,000 people, right? You're still called a servant. We are all servants. So that is something that will help us to remember when God actually prospers us, when God has caused us to be successful in life. Always remember to pray. Teach us how to humble before men. That we are all the same. We are all servants. And then in your humility is where God can begin to what? To honor you. Because he will raise you up, right? He will honor you and all that. Right? I don't want to talk too much about that. But just share with you. Now what happened is, you say, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. When you talk about the heart, I remember this, Solomon saying this. He says, guard your heart with all diligence. He didn't say with diligence, no. He said with all diligence. What is, why? Because out of it flows the issues of life. Issues of life. So your life is like a reservoir. Be careful what you permit into your heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. And so here you talk about his heart was lifted up in his destruction. And for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple and burned incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him with 81 of them, valiant men. As I mentioned to you, valiant men. Why valiant men? Because they were not afraid to lose their head. He confronted the king. But I don't want to look at it in this way. I want to look at it in a positive way. They confronted the king because they loved their king. If you love somebody, what do? I mean, if you really love somebody, that people say, I love you, but I love you. But actually, they don't love you. Because love without discipline is not love. If you see a brother about to fall into a cliff, do you tell the brother, I love you, I love you, I love you? Your love is demonstrated by you what? Warning him, isn't it? And telling him. We have too much love, 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 but it's not real love because there's no discipline. And one of the challenges we see today in America, in the churches, have you heard of Chrislam? Chrislam. The combination of Christianity and Islam. They use one common word called love. So because we love, we can come together. Forget about all the other things, you know. So it's something, I look at it positively, is that they love their king, even at the expense of losing their head. So he told the king, King, you are not called. You can be a king, but you are not called to offer incense. And so what did the king do? Obviously, the Bible already says that his heart was lifted up. So what did he do? He was very angry. Why? Because he's a king. And the king can do what he wants, isn't it? Then you know that his ears is already shut to the warning of God. God will never judge his people until he has given many opportunities to his people to repent. God will send people. If we are doing wrong, God will send people. And because God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love. He doesn't like to judge us. So he will send people to warn us. He will tell us, you know, listen, 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 listen. And if we don't, then that's it. That's why we don't take God's grace and abuse it. And God disciplined us is basically because he loves us. He don't want us, you know, to go to experience destruction. Right? So because of pride, you know, his ear was deaf to the warning. And so for us too, if we are not careful, all right? I would say listen to what people have to say. You don't have to accept everything people say, right? Neither should you be angry with what people say. It's sometimes very funny in the Christian circle, you know. When I'm teaching something and then when it's a question and answers and then somebody and I give an answer and this person is not happy with it, it doesn't seem to gel with him, and this person gets angry, I say, please don't get angry with me. All right? I'm just giving you an answer. You have a right to accept or to reject. All right? We are not enemies. So we don't do that. We be open. We open. I open from what people tell me, but I evaluate. If there are reasonable ground, it does help me, isn't it? And I make changes accordingly. If it is not, then forget about it. Because everybody have their own opinion. All right? If we are teaching, if we are preaching, and I always tell the student, my student here, I always tell our student, if you are preaching, you are teaching, you are writing books, you must be open for people to evaluate you. And if you get angry, please don't teach, don't preach, don't write. Because if you don't do it, nobody will evaluate you. Correct or not? Let's understand that. All right. So I always tell people, I'm open. You can tell me, and I'm okay. No problem. If I think it's wrong, then I praise God for it. I make the necessary changes. If it's not, then I just leave it as it is. Or I try to convince the other person, and if it doesn't work, leave it because non-fundamental, not important, isn't it? Because relationship is more important. Yeah, we have family lah. So minor things, forget about it. Okay. And so he was wroth, the Bible says, and had incense in his hand. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose in his forehead. And that's why forehead? Pride. Forehead. He thinks he's great. So God hit him in the forehead first. Not in his hands. Not in his feet. By his forehead. And then, obviously, if you read in verse 20 that I mentioned to you, when you are a leper, what do? You're an outcast, you know. The king became an outcast. And he was thrust out not only from the temple, he was thrust out from the temple, but also from the presence of God. Because in the house of God, in the temple of God, is where the presence of God during that time. And at the end of his life, the sad thing is, we read in verse 24, he says, Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. But there's one question that we need to discuss in the light of him being a leper. And we know that in the Old Testament, there was also an incident where two person was struck with leprosy. Who was that? Aaron and Miriam, right? Did God heal the leprosy? Yes. It was never mentioned, or it's not mentioned, I didn't read here, that Uzziah actually repented. And I believe if he repented, I believe that God will be merciful. And God would have healed him of his leprosy. See, what is more important for us to understand that we all will feel God. Let's be honest. We all will feel God. But don't forget, what God wants us to know is to realize that we have failed him. And he only wants us to what? Come before him, to repent before him. Because none of us are perfect. He knows that. So as long as we are willing, you know, to repent before him and ask God to forgive us, the Bible is very clear. He's faithful and just to forgive us. But here it never mentioned that he repented. For example, in King Hezekiah's case, when God told him through Isaiah to set his house in order, what did he do? He turned his face to the wall and started seeking God, right? Do you know that he never asked God for longer life? He just prayed and tell God what he did, that his heart was pure before him and all that and all that and all that, and God heard it. You know, it's incredible. You know, before Isaiah walked out of the courtyard, God already spoke to him. So I want you to remember, when you read Daniel, the book of Daniel, I want you to know that the minute you pray, God already heard your prayer. God already heard your prayer. Prayer is the life of a Christian. Prayer is the life of a Christian. Prayer is the breath of a Christian. We need. God has established prayer as the only means of communication. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. We all know that, right? Call unto me, I will answer thee, and I show you great and mighty things. We know that. But we never read verse 2. We only talk about verse 3. But verse 3 is meaningless without verse 2. Go back and read verse 2. Because verse 2 is the basis of verse 3. Without verse 2, verse 3 is meaningless. So God has established prayer as the means of communication, as the way he helps us. So in our life, the only way we want God to help us is through prayer. So I want to encourage you, because this is something that is missing in a lot of churches. I don't know about your church, but a lot of churches that I go, people don't pray. And I plead with you. You have husbands, you have wives, you have children, you have grandchildren. You have to pray. And you need to pray. Because the devil is like a roaring lion waiting to pounce on you. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it doesn't matter. I plead with you, it's a time for us to pray. And I find that even if you start praying and you begin to see your life will be different, your marriage will be different, your children will be different, your grandchildren will be different. All right? So if he had repented, and I believe so, if he had repented before the Lord, and I believe the Lord will heal him of his leprosy. Let me just conclude from here. We see pride was the main cause of his bad ending. But in reality, there are many other things, not just pride. In reality, you know, we can fall because of money, isn't it? We can fall because of moral issues. We can fall because of character flaws. And that's why God allows us to go through the fire in our lives. And that fire is due to deal with our character flaws. Some have to go through many years. Some have to go through a few years. The more stubborn you are, the more years you have to go through. And that is a fact. So these are the things that will affect our destiny and our legacy. A good beginning does not guarantee a good ending. And so I pray that we will all maybe go back, spend a bit of time, meditate on it, ask God to show us what we need to do. Because the greatest thing that you can leave for your generation is not money, is not fame. To live with them, the godly values, the godly character, and the word of God. You know, I struggle. Let me just finish. It's just a short testimony. I struggled for a number of years when I sent my son to study in Melbourne, you know, where it costs a lot of money, and a lot of people that I know, they were talking to me. He says, oh, I bought an apartment for my son in Melbourne, and I bought this and bought that. And one day I was sitting there, I started crying. I said, you know, all these people are able to buy this for their children. I say, I cannot buy anything for my son. You know, I called my son. I said, son, I'm very sorry, you know. You know, I don't have, you know, because a lot of his classmates are all very rich, okay, because you need, it costs a lot of money as a foreign student, you know. I'm rich in God, I'm not very rich, but God, you know, I called my son, and as I spoke to him, I actually shed tears, and I said, I'm very sorry, my son. And I spoke to the Lord. You know what the Lord told me? He says, the greatest thing that you can give to your children is not money. The greatest thing that you can give to your children is your life example. Be a godly, prayerful, be a good example. Leave a good legacy for them, and then they will live, and hopefully they will leave a godly legacy for the generation to come. And we know that people who are godly, although they do confront challenges in life, are they, by the help of God, are always able to overcome them. So I just want to encourage you today, go back, think about it, you know, ask God to help us with this message that we want to have a good beginning, but we also, by the grace of God, and God will be there. If you want it, God will be there. If you really want it, if you really ask God, God will be there to help us to leave behind a good legacy for our generations to come. Shall we stand? Shall we pray?